Hello, everybody. It's George from Ireland. So back, but welcome back to my channel. Wearing one of my favorite casual shirts again. I do try and swap them around a bit. But anyway, the topic I'm discussing is not casual this evening, and that is the Troubles Legacy Act, as it refers to the Northern Ireland conflict from 1969 to 1998. So the Parliament of the United Kingdom passing the Troubles Legacy Act, has passed it. It took effect in September this year, saying there'll be no more investigations and no more prosecutions on anyone who committed any crime during the Troubles. So the Northern Ireland Secretary, Christopher Heaton-Harris, says that this is the right thing to do. Prime Minister Rishi Sunak, obviously is behind it because it's the policy of His Majesty's government. However, it has provoked a storm of controversy and is highly contentious because, of course, everyone was killed, was beloved of other people, and they may never know what exactly happened, why he or she was killed. Was it malicious? Was it accidental? Who killed that person? And if it was a murder rather than a manslaughter or justifiable homicide, the malfeasant will not serve one day in prison, nor indeed have to account for his or her actions. So anyway, the Irish government, yesterday, they initiated a lawsuit. And, you know, they've been pondering this for 3 months. And Sinn Féin in Northern Ireland, that's the major nationalist party, they denounced this ferociously. And the SDLP, there's another nationalist party in Northern Ireland, denounced it, but not quite such farouche terms, because they tend to be more restrained on these things. Anyway, there was already a legal action underway in 2021 in the High Court of Northern Ireland, because Boris Johnson, the Prime Minister back then, he sought to draw a line under the Troubles, because about 3,500 people were killed and tens of thousands of people were injured and so on. So there was a good fine agreement in 1998. It seemed to me, I thought that was there going to be no more prosecutions. There have been very few prosecutions in relation to that. Of the 3,500 deaths, some have been cleared up, some was convicted, someone went to prison for murder. In many cases, they were released in 1998. You know, hundreds of terrorists, both loyalists and Republican, a few members of the security forces, and so on. But there's still a few unsolved incidents from that time, and the closure won't be brought to families, or indeed to survivors, because some people were wounded and are still alive. Because the trouble ended, well, let me see, about a quarter of a century ago, quite a lot of those who survived the injury have died of natural causes subsequently. So the Republic of Ireland is saying that this is flying in the face of the European Convention on Human Rights, which, of course, the United Kingdom helped to draft and was ratified by the United Kingdom in 1950 by the Republic of Ireland likewise. So anyway, it's the Taoiseach has led the charge in this. He's a cork man, but he's not all good despite that. Micheál Martin, who was decently educated at Presentation Brothers College in Cork, where I think he later taught as well, and then UCC. So he's said his family's tradition is Republican nationalism. Remember seeing that when he gave his leadership bid or oration to Fianna Fáil, the party that he's headed since, my goodness, it's about 2011, so that sort of wipeout election. So Taoiseach, that's like deputy prime minister, and he was Taoiseach, as in prime minister. If you're not Irish, you wouldn't know what that word means. And he said that the United Kingdom had pursued this legislation unilaterally. Well, yes, blatantly, that's the case, because it's about what happened in the United Kingdom overwhelmingly. And yes, the Republic of Ireland had expressed its disquiet about this, but London had pressed ahead irregardless of that. Now, generally speaking, the Republic of Ireland and the United Kingdom have got a very cordial relationship, and they dealt with Northern Ireland through partnership, even though it's definitely part of the UK, not a section of the Republic. But the UK often consulted the Irish government about things, and this cooperative approach had really yielded positive results. But this amicable relationship has been somewhat under strain in the last 4 years or so. Mr. Martin said that there are people in Northern Ireland who are against this. Is it the majority? I don't know. But it's a significant and noisy minority, at least. And the Council of Europe's Commissioner for Human Rights has spoken out against this, as has the United Nations High Commissioner for Human Rights. All that's true, but that does not impair the United Kingdom's right to legislate as it sees fit. There are various groups for those who are directly impacted by these slayings, other acts of violence. Now, some of them might be permissible uses of force by the security forces, but some of them will not be, even if it's by the security force. Yes, there's reasonable force. That's the minimum force necessary. And of course, occasionally reasonable force is actually killing somebody. And that is the minimum force necessary. You know, remember, the security forces could use to protect himself, herself, or some other innocent person. Obviously, they're lesser acts of violence, of wounding people, beating people up, or anything like that. And then the security forces, they obviously tried to kill the IRA and INLA, with whom they're fighting against, occasionally loyalist terrorists. There was a limitation to that. They were not to deliberately kill someone while they knew him not to be a threat. They had to believe this person was an imminent threat to life. Of course, that belief may subsequently turn out to be erroneous, but as long as it was reasonably honestly held at the time, the person who used the deadly force will have a valid defense. Inevitably, they made mistakes. You know, people were killed, occasionally children were killed, firing one person and the bullet misses and kills an innocent person behind, firing, missing, and the bullet ricocheting. Actually, very few bullets hit the person they're intended to hit. The great majority of them miss. I mean, honestly, like about 99% of them miss. You look at the rate of fire of, say, British troops firing in Afghanistan and stuff. But often in Afghanistan, they're firing people very far away, like a few miles away. Sometimes the bullet is fired not to actually hit someone, just to scare off the enemy to get their heads down. So people want a settling of accounts, but no reckoning has been made to actually disclose what happened. The British government's view is that this thing, that it's better to let bygones be bygones and just stop talking about it. Some of these investigations have cost hundreds of millions of pounds. Is that really the best way to disperse the money? Sometimes we're better off not knowing things, like Thomas Gray wrote, where ignorance is bliss, 'tis folly to be wise. There's some elderly British military veterans or RUC veterans, that was the police, well, as the constabulary, now octogenarians. Are they going to be dragged through the courts? Some people say. Well, people say, well, yeah, they should be. If there is a strong case against these people, yeah, they should be prosecuted. But I mean, the government's argument is, well, as terrorists, both loyalists and Republican, are not going to be prosecuted, neither should members of the security forces. That's the only way to move forward. Obviously, British Crown Forces veterans groups have been fervently lobbying for the whole thing to be shut down. No more investigations, no more prosecutions. Well, I'm not sure I can agree with complete impunity. So some people say that maybe there should be a prejudice towards that, but in exceptionally strong cases, they should be prosecutions should go ahead. So the leader of the Democratic Unionist Party is Sir Geoffrey Donaldson, that veteran Unionist MP. In 1997, he's the youngest Unionist MP elected. He used to be the Ulster Unionist Party. And he said that the Irish government is being two-faced about this, that there's been an unofficial amnesty in the Republic of Ireland for decades, certainly since 1998. We could go back to the Irish Civil War when that ended in April 1923 with de Valera's dump arms order. That was it. The Republican prisoners were rapidly released and there were no more prosecutions. And then there was this gentleman's agreement just simply not to speak about it for decades. Likewise, and the Second World War was more IRA activity, but 1946, IRA men were all released from prison and nobody was prosecuted for things which happened prior to that, and so on. So if it's good enough for the Republic of Ireland, why is it not good enough for the United Kingdom? Well, you can't have it both ways. What do I think? I mean, I'm broadly supportive, actually, of the whole idea of just burying it. That's it. And justice is not for a family or for a victim. Justice is for its own sake. Justice is for the whole community, because sometimes a victim or a supposed victim doesn't get what he or she wants, which does not mean that justice has not been done. But sometimes we just can't find out the truth and so on. Obviously, it's increasingly difficult, as many of the witnesses have died since. Right. Thank you so much for watching my channel. What do you think? I know it's a tendentious issue, so no doubt I'll get lots of wrathful posts about this one. So please subscribe to me on Patreon and donate on PayPal. Goodbye.